WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Monday, February 15th, 2016. I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin. Boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to get to, like we do each and every Monday here on the show as we try to recap the weekend that was in the sporting world. It was a busy one, to say the least, ladies and gents. Of course, you had yesterday at the Breslin Center, the Michigan State men's basketball team just putting it to the Indiana Hoosiers. You'll get to hear our coverage, our post-game coverage from that game. Get to hear from Tom Izzo, the head coach of the MSU men's basketball squad, and what he thinks about Denzel Valentine's performance yesterday afternoon that was nothing short of amazing. You'll also even get to hear from Matt Costello and even former Spartan hoop star Gary Harris. You don't want to miss that. And on the contrary, the MSU women's basketball team, they fell at Nebraska. Yes, an unexpected upset, folks. Hear what Susie Merchant had to say after that one. We'll also recap the NBA All-Star Weekend that was pretty entertaining. More entertaining than I expected, to be honest with you all. And, of course, we will have weekend winners for you. All of that and so much more. If you want to be a part of the show, you know what to do. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this February 15th. All right, the number 8-ranked Michigan State men's basketball team got another stellar performance from star player Denzel Valentine on Valentine's Day. Yes, that pun wrote itself, folks, as they beat the Indiana Hoosiers 88-69. Valentine dropped 30 points while dishing out 13 assists and only turning the ball over one time on the afternoon. The Spartans trailed by as many as 10 points in the first half, but went on a 24-3 run midway through the second half to take control of the game. Matt Costello also chipped in with a career-high 22 points to go with 11 boards.
Not a bad gamble. Taking the baseline. Costello! Big finish!
Career-high for Costello. He's been great this year. MSU returns to the court Thursday night when they play host to the red-hot Wisconsin Badgers. They have won 7 straight games. The 17th-ranked Michigan State women's basketball team fell victim to an upset Sunday afternoon at the hands of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. 73-66, the final of that one. Junior Ariel Power scored 19, and freshie Jenna Allen added a career-high 14 points, but it wasn't enough to overcome the Big Red, who shot 50% from the field. The loss drops MSU to 19-7 on the year and 9-5 in Big Ten play. The Spartan women will be back in action Thursday night when they hit the road to take on Rutgers. The Michigan State men's hockey team had a big test this past weekend as they hosted number 16-ranked Penn State for the weekend series at Munn Ice Arena. Penn State easily won Friday night 6-1, while the team skated officially to a 2-2 tie on Saturday. Penn State earned the extra point in that game thanks to a 1-0 shootout victory. Michigan State, man, they cannot win in shootouts, folks. The Spartans will hit the road next weekend, well, I should say this weekend, when they travel to Wisconsin for a 2-game series. Oakland University's men's basketball coach Greg Campy has been chosen to receive the Sparky Anderson Community Excellence Award. The award, which is named for the Detroit Tigers manager, is presented to an individual who has excelled professionally while making a significant impact on charities. This past summer, Campy hosted a Beat Cancer event to attempt to raise money for cancer research. The event was able to raise more than $160,000. Campy so well deserving of that honor. The Detroit Red Wings were victorious in a Valentine's Day matinee against the Boston Bruins, winning a wild game 6-5 the final. Coach Jeff Blashill said it, quote, looked like 1986 in regards to all of the scoring in what could turn out to be a milestone day for Pavel Datsyuk.
Over to Zetterberg, who's able to drift with it now. Thrown back over, Datsyuk fake, shoots, score! He's done it again.
How about the Magic Man? He tallied a career point number 900 on a first period goal, becoming just the sixth Red Wing to ever do so. It'll be a quick turnaround for the Wings. They're back in action for a President's Day matinee at 1 p.m. today when they pay a visit to the New York Islanders. For the first time since Allen Iverson, Ivo, back in 2009, the Detroit Pistons had a representative in the NBA All-Star Game, and his performance did not disappoint. Pistons big man Andre Drummond tallied a double-double, scoring 16 points and snagging 13 boards in 18 minutes of play during last night's game. The West All-Stars would end up being victorious in this one, 196 to 173. That's a lot of points, with Russell Westbrook taking home the MVP honors for the second straight year. Despite being six shots behind to begin the day, Vaughn Taylor was able to rally and win the PGA Tour's AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Phil Mickelson entered Sunday as the leader and had the opportunity to force a playoff on the 18th green, but he was unable to convert a five-foot birdie. The win is Taylor's third career victory on the PGA Tour and his first since August of 2005. Mickelson remains winless on tour since July 2013. And Peyton Manning is among the athletes cited in a lawsuit filed by a group of women alleging that the former University of Tennessee has violated Title IX regulations and created a, quote, hostile sexual environment through a policy of indifference toward assaults by student athletes. The Tennessee lawsuit alleges that in 1996, when Manning was the volunteer's QB, he placed his genitals on the face of a female athletic trainer while she was examining him for an injury. Manning has denied that he assaulted the trainer, saying instead he was mooning a teammate. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let the show begin. Yeah, yeah.
Yo. Yo, one, y'all ready? Come on. Let's kick some off. Trying to get a witness. Come on, come on. Yo.
Line 10.6 rebounds, 7 assists. He shot 4 of 11. He had won 3. And he's hearing the chant.
What's up, beautiful people? You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, February 15, 2016. I hope that you all had a fabulous Valentine's weekend. It was a great one, folks, with a ton on the tube to watch. If you are a sports fanatic, boy, oh boy, how about the NBA All-Star Weekend? You know, kind of a catch-22 for me because I used to be a big fan of the NBA All-Star festivities, but my interest really diluted over the years after just watching some of the subpar performances we've seen on All-Star Saturday. And Sunday, the game is just like watching just a pickup basketball game at your local rec with athletic talent times 20, okay? Which can be fun to watch. A lot of dunks, a lot of fancy plays, but no defense play whatsoever. But to say the least, this was pretty entertaining. We'll get to NBA All-Star Weekend in just a sec. We'll also, of course, have weekend winners for you on the back end of the show. We want you to be a part of today's show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Again, we'll have a lot to get to, of course. In just a sec, we will also be chatting about the Michigan State women's basketball game that occurred yesterday on the road at Nebraska. The ladies falling yet again to an unranked opponent. That's a Nebraska team that it's a solid team. Nebraska's solid, but there's no way that the Spartan women should have lost that game. We'll get to that in just a sec. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I don't want to waste any time today because it's so much. A jam-packed show, as I mentioned. I want to first start off by talking about the MSU men's basketball game yesterday afternoon at the Breslin Center. Michigan State putting it to Indiana, 88-69, the final of that game. Quite surprising. I chose Michigan State to win that game, but I did not think it will be a blowout on either side. I thought this was going to be close, up to the wire, down to the wire type of a game, and especially because, I put a lot of importance on this game for both of these teams, really. Because when looking at Indiana's last game coming into this matchup, folks, Indiana had beaten Big Ten top dog, as of right now, Iowa. And they seem to be clicking in many, many areas on both sides of the basketball, offensively and defensively. You know, what they entered, 10-2 in the conference? But all of a sudden, after Michigan State held that 10-point lead, Indiana just let Michigan State open. The door opened for Michigan State, really. And they took advantage of it. And it started, that turnaround started for Michigan State on the defensive end. I thought from a defensive perspective, they did an outstanding job of slowing down Indiana's top dogs. And one of those being, of course, Yogi Ferrell, who has had a fantastic year thus far. But Yogi, just 9 points for Yogi, 3 of 10 from the floor. Max Bielfeldt, who had a great start to that game, really giving Matt Costello the blues. Costello stepped up his defense, and I just thought overall it was a collective defensive effort when it comes to slowing down Yogi and Bielfeldt. I thought Michigan State did a great job as that game went along. Bielfeldt finished 6 of 14 from the floor. Couldn't really stay in the game in the second half due to foul trouble. Credit Matt Costello to a lot of that. I thought Michigan State played a heck of a game, though, as that game went on. And Denzel Valentine, I mean, what more can you say about this kid? 11 of 19, 5 of 8 from the three-point line, 30 points, 13 assists, and 5 rebounds. That's how it's done, folks, on Valentine's Day. And it's so funny because if you remember last year on Valentine's Day when Michigan State played Ohio State, with 3.2 seconds left, Denzel Valentine nailed the game winner. So Valentine's Day, Denzel Valentine plays big on his day, I guess you can say, right? He was fantastic yesterday, though. Matt Costello, who has been Mr. Consistency for this team, 10 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 2 from the three-point line. Are you kidding me? Matt Costello is shooting threes now? Unbelievable stuff. A career-high 22 points for him, 11 boards. Bryn Forbes got the brunt of his 14 points very early in that game. He had it going really early in that game. He went 4 of 7 from the field for 14 points. And get this, though. You mentioned, Costello, Forbes, and Valentine, the seniors of this squad. 66 of Michigan State's 88 points came from the hands of its seniors. That says a lot, folks. It says a lot. And this team didn't fold. I mean, they were down by as many as 10 points in that first half, and they did not fold. This team showed a lot of resiliency, and I just thought that Denzel Valentine just said, give me the ball, I'm about to take over. I'm about to do what I do. I'm about to get my teammates involved and score. And that's what Denzel did. He is so fun to watch. And it amazed me, because watching that broadcast, they brought up numbers from Denzel Valentine's freshman year to where he is now as a senior. And his numbers have steadily improved year after year after year, and now as a senior. Fantastic outing by Denzel Valentine. I really think that right now, the National Player of the Year award is Buddy Hield to lose. Buddy has been so good for Oklahoma. But there are a few individuals that will argue elsewhere. Here is Tom Izzo during his post-game press conference.
I love Buddy Hield. I love him. He's not only is he a good player, not only is he a tough kid, but everything I hear about him, Tum Tum is from the same area. I watch him handle losing at Kansas a couple weeks ago, and he seems like the most quality kid that we have in college basketball, to be honest with you. And so I'm a big fan of his. As far as, though, the versatility and being able to do everything, I mean, I don't think Valentine gets credit for his defense. Now, as all of you know, I'm the first to say that, you know, he was in a long line of shooting guards here over my career that would check campus to find someone they could guard early in his career, and he never found anybody. And then, you know, he got better at it. Everything we've asked that kid to get better at, he's gotten better at. He became a better shooter. He's become a little more disciplined with the ball. But he can guard people. So he can guard and rebound on one end, and he can pass and score on the other end. And I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody I've had that can do that as thoroughly as he does it. So put it this way, I think he deserves to be in the race. And I think the guy that's been everybody's favorite deserves to be there too, because hell of a kid, hell of a player. But this guy, I'm telling you, can do things. He was so poised. He was a little bit too unlike himself. You know, I don't know what it was the first 10 minutes of the game. I thought he was good, but he was just existing out there. And you know, we talked about it in the huddle, and he kind of changed and realized that he's really smart, too. And, you know, and I don't know that. I don't know the other things about some of the other candidates. But if you can find a better all-around player on both ends of the court, that guy deserves it. Well, in general, guys, it was a hell of a basketball game the first half, and I didn't think they played maybe as well the second half. I thought we played better, but like we played the first half, I thought they played a little bit like that the second half, and they'll be a team to be reckoned with, and so will we. And pretty soon I'm going to be hoping for all these Big Ten teams to keep winning, because I think we got a lot of good teams in our league. Thanks.
And I think Tom Izzo has a very good point. I mean, when you look at what Denzel Valentine does top to bottom for this Spartan team, I mean, finding ways to score and putting up crazy numbers in the scoring column while also finding a way to balance that out with his teammates. And by the way, Michigan State, you know, I always bring up this stat. Michigan State right now leads the nation when it comes to assist. They share the basketball better than any team in the nation. And then Denzel Valentine still finds pockets to shine in. I mean, that's very impressive. Very impressive. And he definitely does that better than Buddy Hield. But Buddy Hield, scoring-wise, though, I mean, his numbers have been so eye-popping that it's very hard not to give it to Buddy. But Tom does have a good point, though. From when it comes to all-around play, it's hard to find a better player. And speaking of Denzel Valentine, here was he after that game as well.
You know, I just try, like I said, I just try not to worry about, you know, me as much. You know, I have to worry about my teammates. You know, if they're playing them, doing them, and doing what they can do, then it's going to make the job easier for me. So, you know, I just try to take control, you know, be the more poised guy, because they're going to look at me to see how I'm reacting and things like that. So if I'm under control, poised, and things like that, that's how they'll be. So I just try to, you know, maintain focus out there.
Maybe you can patent this Valentine's
Day. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it was a good game. You know, credit to my teammates. You know, they played a good game. You know, I wouldn't have 13 assists if it wasn't for them making shots. So, you know, they did a good job of making plays and playing good defense.
The way Matt described it was getting mad at yourself when you were about to get down about things. Does that make sense to you?
No.
In other words, before you might get down when something went wrong, but now you get mad about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Is that recent?
Yeah, it's kind of a different reaction, you know. I've been in this position before, you know. We have a great team. There's no need to get down on myself now. Just need to change things and try to win the games, really.
Dennis, Tom said that he had to tell you either in pregame or early on that you weren't quite yourself today. What was that about? How did I come out with
it was at first. I don't know. I was tired for some reason. I don't know. It could have been the 1 o'clock start, late in the season. I don't know what the reason was.
But you felt that too.
I felt tired for some reason at first. And then I just had to breathe and calm myself down. And then once they went on that run and they got down 10, that's when I really, you know, started breathing, you know, just getting calm. And then I relaxed and got a bucket, got that N1 bucket. And then I felt normal. And then I just relaxed and felt under control after that.
I don't think there's a question. As good as Buddy is, and I love him to pieces, we got Tom, who's best buds with him. But Zell plays every facet of the game as one of the best in the nation, and that should make him the best player in the nation. Buddy can score, and he is unselfish. He does try to pass the ball, but he can't rebound as well as Zell or push the ball as well as Zell. He's playing the two, so two score, and Zell's a point guard and scoring 30, so that's impressive in and of itself.
Check out Matt Costello having the back of his teammate, Denzel Valentine, when it comes to that National Player of the Year conversation. Interesting, though. I want to bring in our engineer of WKR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance from Nolens, who was in the house for that game yesterday afternoon. Isaac, how you doing, brother?
Doing well. How's your Valentine's Day? Very special, I'm sure.
It was great, man. It was very relaxing as well. And I actually went to the Detroit Opera House for my very first, what do you call it, like, I don't know how you dub it. Ballerina show, I guess you can say. It was interesting. You have to do something different. She was a big ballerina fan. So we went there. Dude, when I tell you, it was one of the dopest experiences I've ever had. It was that good. They did ballerina.
The ballet. That's what it's called.
Exactly. The ballet. Ballerina, ballet, tomato, tomato. But they did it to like James Brown, old school mixes, dude. It was unbelievable, man. So, yeah, that was probably the highlight of my weekend. So, it was
right.
Relaxing,
yeah,
though.
Good.
What'd you do? I know you had a time slots. You know,
no.
Sylvia, Chandra, then you went to Jennifer. I mean, you had a bunch of time slots for different individuals, didn't
you? Well, if that was filling out internship requests and scholarship essays, yeah, you could call it that. No, I was just kind of tuning my own horn. But, no, I worked for, you know, I covered the game,
right.
And that took until 4 p.m. that I had my internship that night from about 7 to 10. So in between then, I just kept the suit on, did a little bit of work. So it looked like I had a hot date. I'm sure everybody thought that. But
okay. But you were just working.
And I did. I did. I'm going to maintain that. I did, in fact.
Okay. Gotcha. But yeah, but no, go back to the ballet. Go back to the ballet. It was the Dance Theater of Harlem. Dude, it was amazing. Fellas, if you have not seen ballet in person, and you look at it, you see guys in tights, you know, dancing around, and you're like, oh, okay, that's not my stilo. But it was really creative, though, man. It was really interesting, though.
Really?
I will say that. Oh, yeah, you got to check it out.
All right.
You would
like stock that up for next Valentine's Day.
It was hot, dude. It was a packed house, too. But yeah, good Valentine's Day weekend. I want to get your thoughts, though, on this whole discussion. Before we get to Bob from Delta, I know he's on the line, on line one right now. And we'll take your calls, 517-355-9527, if you want to be a part of today's show. But what do you think? Because it was interesting. You were in that locker room talking to different players, and, you know, as they elaborated on Denzel Valentine and the argument that he should be National Player of the Year, were you surprised about any of the dialogue that you encountered? Because for me, I mean, it was just teammates having Denzel's back. And
exactly.
Costello was very vocal in letting it be known that, hey, right now there's no player in the nation that does it from top to bottom like Denzel V.
Well, I think there's a debate to be had, and that's a big point. The fact that you can argue that Denzel Valentine is the player of the year. As you said, however, I do think it's Buddy Hield's to lose just because of his performance against Kansas. That's unforgettable. 46 points in a triple overtime game.
How about Denzel's performance against Kansas, though? I mean,
but that's not bad. That almost matches it. So it's just back and forth. Unfortunately, triple doubles don't always grab the eye quite as much as scoring does, pure scoring. And that is what Buddy Hield has. So it's a back-and-forth contest. I think there is a debate to be had either way. But, of course, nobody in the Michigan State locker room is going to say, hey, Buddy Hield is so much better than Denzel. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to say that. So it doesn't surprise me. I think if you went to the Oklahoma locker room, you'd hear a similar response except in favor of Buddy Hield. But I think there is a debate to be had. Career high 13 assists for Zell last night, or yesterday afternoon. That's tough to argue with, and the guy is so good at passing, rebounding, and scoring. And as Izzo said in the postgame presser, his defense has gotten really better, too. Mm-hmm. It's an underrated part of his game.
It certainly is. And, you know, looking at the defensive effort from not just Denzel, but that entire team, I mean, Yogi Ferrell, again, only 9 points, 3 of 10 shooting. Troy Williams, he was 0 of 5 from the field. Thomas Bryant, 4 of 11. And Bill Felt slowed down as the game went on. It was a fantastic defensive effort that I think sparked that run by Michigan State in that second half. Folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one. We do have Bob from Delta on the line. Bob, welcome to the show. How you doing, my man?
Hey, I'm good. Have you heard anything about Kenny Goins?
Yes, he had an MRI last night, and the results will be released later on today. I'm not sure if anything has come out from that MRI just of yet, but I do know he had an MRI last night, though, Bob.
Boy, I tell you, when you're early, his own guy hit him. That was just awful.
Wasn't it? You know, and Tom Izzo said in the presser that he thinks it may be, you know, worst case scenario, a torn meniscus. And that'll be a big blow. That really will. But it was good to see, you know, Tum Tum at least get back on the hardwood last night. I will say that.
Yeah, but it just shows you under the basket, boy, you got to pull those legs in. You get a little more protected with your body.
Gotcha. Yeah, exactly.
You know, he got hit by his own guy there, McQuaid. McQuaid
right.
just nailed him.
Right, right.
You just hate to see that on your own team or your own guy.
That's basketball, though. You know, kind of just a bang-bang play. Really unfortunate, though, because, and I'm looking here, Isaac just typed this in our rundown. Izzo said at least a couple of weeks. Looks like a sprained MCL, possibly a small tear. So we won't be seeing Kenny Goins at least in the next 2 weeks.
But maybe just a small tear, huh?
Yeah, maybe a small tear. That's what where is that being reported from, Isaac? Where do you see that at?
The Dan Dockich Radio Show.
The Dan Dockich Radio Show. That's where they're reporting
well,
that news.
Well, that's not too bad then, is it?
No. I mean, a couple of weeks. I mean, they'll get him back, you know, at least right in time, maybe after the Big Ten tournament, I'm guessing,
well,
right in
like
time for March
been,
Madness.
Yeah, it looked like it could have been so much worse because right. he was unable to put any weight on it while walking off the court.
Exactly. Exactly. Really rooting for him, though, because he's had a great season. He's been a key factor coming off that bench and providing.
I like him a lot.
I really do. Right.
Yeah, you know. They play Ohio State, and they also play Wisconsin. Who and Penn State, who are the other two games?
Let's see here, because I know, okay, looking at the schedule here, Bob, they have Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State, Rutgers, and then Ohio State.
So they play Ohio State twice?
Yes, they play Ohio State twice, yep.
Oh, so they got Ohio State up here, and then they got them down there both. They got them both ways. Oh,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, the final time they play on March 5th, that will be a home game. That'll be the last regular season game of the year.
So Ohio State twice. Wisconsin, Penn State, and Rutgers, huh?
You got it.
All right. Well, you guys do a nice job on the show. I was really curious about Goins. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Bob, for the call. Appreciate that.
All right.
And you know what's interesting? This Big Ten race is going to come down to the final weeks of the season, Isaac. I mean, looking at Iowa, who's numero uno in the conference right now. They have Penn State, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Indiana, and U of M to finish up the year. Really looking forward to that Iowa and Indiana game again. I mean, a rematch of what took place last week. Maryland, who's tied for second place along with Indiana right now, they have Minnesota, U of M, Purdue, Illinois. Then they wrap up the year against Indiana. That race could possibly come down to that final matchup between Maryland and Indiana, depending on how Iowa finishes out the year. But I will say, this championship is Iowa's to lose because when you look at Penn State, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Indy's the game to circle there. Then he wrap up against U of M. I mean, I really think that Iowa can run the table to finish out the year. For Indiana, looking at the rest of their year, they have Nebraska coming up, Purdue, Illinois, Iowa, and Maryland. And those final 2 weeks are going to be brutal for Indiana.
Well, it looks to me like both Maryland and Indiana have 3 of 5 matchups remaining. There could be real grind them out ones that there's no way they even win those by double digits. So those will be very tough games for both those teams. On the other hand, you've got Iowa, who really, you circle the game against Indiana, but that's about it. And the game against Indiana is now in their home court. And you know, that makes all the difference when it comes to playing at your home court or playing away. And playing in Bloomfield, Indiana is no easy task. So they put up a decent performance there. I think they'll actually win that matchup at home.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I'm still going with Iowa to win the Big Ten, though. I think Iowa is so good at the end of the day that they're going to just kind of just pull out in that final stretch. And I do think they'll get their revenge against Indiana during that second before the final game against U of M to wrap up the season. Also, Gary Harris was in the house to witness that Michigan State and Indiana game yesterday afternoon. I was surprised he wasn't in Toronto enjoying the NBA All-Star festivities, but you got a chance to chat with him afterwards, Isaac, and here's what he had to say.
It's a little different, you know, playing in the Braves. The crowd is coming in here yelling at us, you know, me and all of them, man. I miss everything about it, for sure.
What do you think about this team right now?
It's going to be playing. I think they're going to be the last team standing this year, for sure.
What do you think about the way Denzel's come around as a player?
Not surprising, you know. I've seen all the work he put in, and you know, I'm happy for him.
If you had any advice to anyone in here or the team in general, what would you tell them?
Stay focused, you know. Don't get too high, don't get too low. You know, that Purdue loss was tough, but you know, I like the way they came back, responded. You know, got a much needed win against Indiana, and just you know, take care of business the rest of the Big Ten season and get this momentum rolling going into the postseason.
Gary, do you think Denzel's the player of the year?
Yes.
What separates him from the
others? You know, nothing against the other guys. You know, other guys are definitely well-deserving. I just what Denzel does for this team and how they go out as he goes. And, you know, he does it all, whether that's getting 30 points, 10 assists, or 10 rebounds, you know. He can get a triple-double any night he wanted to. And he definitely likes getting other teammates involved. And, you know, he's a great teammate.
How far do you think this team can go this season?
I just said they can be last team standing. They just got to stay focused and, you know, continue to play together. And, you know, it could be a good year.
And again, that was Gary Harris, who is now a baller for the Denver Nuggets, former Michigan State hoop star as well. And again, Matt Costello, 10 of 12, even hit a three-pointer yesterday afternoon at the Breslin Center, a career high, 22 points, 11 boards. Here's actually Tom Crean, head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers, on what Costello was able to do.
Yeah, he's playing his way right into the NBA. We helped him today. There's no doubt about that. I mean, there's no question about it. He's had an outstanding.
Costello, an NBA player, Isaac?
No, I don't think he is, just because of size and athleticism constraints. And I just don't think that he has all the skills to carry it on to next year. This is a guy who had 9 straight games in college where he didn't score double digits his senior year. Love him as a player. He can definitely play overseas, not in the NBA.
Okay. All right. First break. When we come back, we will chat about the NBA All-Star Weekend. It was an interesting one, to say the least. That and more right here on WKAR's Current Sports.
Never seen anything like that.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, February 15th, 2016. Boy, oh boy, has it been cold outside or what? I knew sooner or later this Michigan winter was going to reveal itself, and it certainly has. It was a blistering weekend. I hope you guys are staying warm, though. We hope to keep you guys warm for at least the next 30 minutes here on WKAR's Current Sports. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9. 95-27, 517-355, 95-27. And, you know, in the next 30 minutes, this is going to be it. This is it. We've exhausted this battle for over a week now. And the only reason we're pushing it to today's show is because we ended Friday's show with a tie. Of course, this is the month of the Oscars. The Oscars taking place later on this month. And in honor of the Oscars here on the show, we are winding down an intense battle that will eventually crown the number one sports movie of all time. Now, in round one, the Rocky series just gave it to Moneyball in the 1-10 matchup. And last week was an interesting one, again, that again bleeds over to today's show. Hoosiers versus the Karate Kid. As things were winding down, I believe, what, Isaac, we got like a vote in the like the final like 2 minutes of the show, right?
Two votes in the final 5 minutes of the show. One in the final two.
Right.
To set it at an even score.
Which is crazy because I really thought that that Hoosiers was going to win this thing, you know, by at least a couple votes. But no, it's all tied up still. The Karate Kid has 6 votes. Hoosiers has 6 votes as well. So we have to break this tie so we can move on to our next round and our next pairing, our next battle, if you will, which is going to be an interesting one. If you want to call in, you can also vote for these two as well. This is going to be a fun one. Raging Bull versus the Mighty Ducks. I'm looking forward to that one. That one could go either way. That one really could go either way. The Raging Bull, Robert De Niro, classic. Joe Pesci, I believe, is also in that one. And the Mighty Ducks, I mean, a plethora of young, great actors in that one as well. So, but hey, we need you to break this tie. Hoosiers versus the Karate Kid. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527.
I think both you and I should make one final pitch to try to sway the people one way or another.
Final pitch? Well,
one final pitch.
My only pitch that I've been bleeding upon throughout all of last week, and I guess now today as well, is that Hoosiers is the most overrated sports movie of all time. It's about a bunch of kids from Indiana rallying together at their local high school. Stop it. No, you can boo me all you want. I have already been taking a lot of flack for this opinion, even because when I say this, I always get a lot of flack for it. But it's about a bunch of kids. It's real cliche, really predictable. You know what's going to happen at the end, but they bind together. They rally the local community together, and they go on to win a championship. But it's so boring. It's really slow at times. They're out there in the cornfields. There's this interesting love connection between, I forget who's the main character in that movie?
Jimmy.
No, the actor who plays the coach. Who's the
Gene
actor?
Hackman.
Gene Hackman. Yeah, Gene Hackman. You know, he's just kind of boring. He's a boring actor to me. I don't know. I don't really like. I'm not a big Gene Hackman fan. But the Karate Kid, you got this underdog story about this kid diving into the world of martial arts, who's trained by Mr. Miyagi, who's a master. He's like Bruce Lee, training this kid to become a kung fu master. And I don't want to give a movie away for those who haven't seen it, even though you should watch. You should have seen Karate Kid by now. But the final fight where he gets injured and he comes back and wins, I mean, it's, oh, I cried. I cried. Unbelievable.
Well, okay. Hoosiers just goes a little bit deeper than that. The Karate Kid seems to me like it's just attempting to be Star Wars or something. Mr. Miyagi.
Stop. You did not just compare
Karate. He reminds
me
of like Yoda. And then who Daniel LaRusso, little kid, reminds me of Luke Skywalker or something.
Stop.
Like that. A little Padawan. It's cute. But no, Hoosiers is an all-time great sports movie. It's got drama. It's got its cliches, but invented some of those cliches. And it's a great movie. Perfectly describes the beauty of basketball. And it's just a great film. Gene Hackman is not a boring actor. You
so
need to
boring.
Look deeper if you think that. Gene Hackman is an all-time great actor. So, no, Hoosiers, I'm sorry. I'm all for the underdog. I'm all for the upset. Just like little Danny LaRusso got the upset in the end, but he's not getting another upset. Vote for Hoosiers.
Well, you know, if I tell you what, if you need to go to sleep, if you're having sleeping problems, just pop on Hoosiers. It'll put you right to bed, trust me, without a doubt. So call in, folks, 517-355-9527. I want to talk about this NBA All-Star Weekend because, as I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, I have mixed feelings about, you know, the NBA All-Star Weekend over the years. I think it's become just a bit boring. You know, speaking of boring, I think some All-Stars in the past have been a bit boring for me. The game is just no defense at all. It's really not competitive. A lot of guys just going out there, just having fun. It's fun to watch some of the dunks that happen and some of the creative plays that happen when you have all these superstars, quote unquote, going at it on the same court. That's always fun to watch. But All-Star Saturday, you know, they made many modifications over the years. And particularly when it comes to the dunk contest, just hasn't been that appealing to me over the years. But I tell you what, I went back. I didn't get a chance to catch it live. And actually, Isaac, you messaged me Saturday night because that's when I was out watching ballerinas on Saturday night.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, ballet, whatever. Yeah, and I get a message from you, and you sent me a video of what I do believe is probably the best dunk in dunk contest history. It was that I had to do a double take. I almost, because you Snapchatted me, I wanted to almost hit the, you know, little reply button, or replay button, excuse me, on Snapchat. I mean, it was that good. I had to do a double take. We were at a restaurant. I almost, you know, spit out my steak. It was that good, dude. And it came down to Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. But this is what I want to say. Before I go on and really praise what we saw Saturday night in the dunk contest, at least, the big knock on the dunk contest, Isaac, in my opinion, and this is why I just think it's lost a lot of its luster. I won't say, and you hear, and I think that these comments were made in the moment by guys like Kenny Smith and Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley and Reggie Miller. The dunk contest is back, blah, blah, blah. It was made in the moment because that dunk contest was so good last night. But the big thing about the dunk contest is that it is so inconsistent year after year after year. And the big knock that I have on it is that the superstars of the NBA do not participate in it. I have, you know, mad respect to the guys back in the day. You know, Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins. I mean, that I wanted to play that bite because on NBA, on their YouTube channel, they have a compilation between this year's dunk contest comparing the battle between LaVine and Gordon to back in the 80s, 1988, when it was just an epic matchup between Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan. But in today's dunk contest era, you don't have the LeBron James or the Russell Westbrooks going at it in a dunk contest, or the Kevin Durants going at it. You have these guys. I mean, let's look at the slate for today, for this year's dunk contest. You had Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, Andre Drummond of the Detroit Pistons, shout out to the D, and Will Barton. Those are not, quote-unquote, superstars, the pioneers of today's game. The superstars back in the day were so competitive that they didn't care. If it was a dunk contest or a three-point competition, they did not shy away from it. So that's the big thing. That's a big criticism I have with it, first off. Secondly, leading up to that one-on-one battle between LaVine and Gordon, and you have this every single year, especially in round one, you have this dead time that's like, okay, you know, that I've seen that dunk before. Like, they started off with these just average dunks that we've seen countless times before, and I'm sitting there like, okay, what's... Because I knew the hoopla leading into it. I watched SportsCenter that night, Saturday, and I'm like, they were like, oh, the dunk contest is back. It was the best battle of all time. And I sat there and watched it on my DVR on Sunday, and I'm like, this is kind of a snooze right now, you know what I mean? It didn't pick up until that second round when they whittled it down to LaVine and Gordon. Andre Drummond, he did the same dunk that Dwight Howard did, right? With bringing out Steve Nash.
No, that was Amari Stoudemire.
Well, Amari Stoudemire, yeah. With Steve Nash in the you know, he has a background in soccer and he kicks it up to him and slams it home. I mean, those were dunks we've seen before. It was a snoozer, and it always is. That, like, that first beginning moments of the dunk contest is such a snooze until you get to round two. And then, you know, three, again, going back to that original point that I just made with the dead time situation, I mean, we've just seen everything, you know, over the years. I mean, the dunk contest has been going on for so long, dating back to the first one back in 1984, I believe. Or you can even go back further than that with the ABA,
yep,
with Dr. J.
Yep.
I mean, how many more dunks are there to do out there? That's the big thing with me. I mean, I feel like I see at least six of the same dunks that I've seen in the past every single year in the dunk contest. With that being said, though, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon, they went old school, dude. They took it back to the basics. I mean, and this is the thing I love about the dunk contest, because when you first see that dunk slam down, you're like, oh, all right, that was nice, okay. But it's not until you go to the replay and you see just how high he got and the athleticism that it took in that, what, like, what, 1 to 2 second split. I mean, it was amazing going back and watching those guys compete. With that being said, I just think, though, to duplicate that, it's hard to do year after year after year.
Agreed. Agreed. I can't wait for next year because my feelings on the dunk contest were similar, and I thought it was dead. I thought it was gone. Actually, there's someone who can say it better than me.
And it's not going to be for you. The fans, yes. Because if it was up to you, we're 6 foot under already. We're dead and buried and gone. Gone. So if that was the case, I mean, we'd have to get some respirators out or something down there to put life back in people.
But exactly. They did get the respirators out. Yeah, they did get the defibrillators. And it was excellent. Zach LaVine, first off, shout out to my man Nick Saban for giving me that bite. But I'm not nearly as eloquent as he is. But anyway,
right.
Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon just battled it out. I remember watching Aaron Gordon. I was saying to the PAs with me behind the glass that I will remember watching Aaron Gordon on Hoop mixtapes, on Ball Is Life mixtapes, on all of those. And he was a phenom in high school. He used to slam it on everybody. And in high school, I said, this kid's the next Blake Griffin. He is so much better
than
Blake Griffin.
Like, no one knew who the heck Aaron Gordon was until last night. Like, the casual sports fan does not know who Aaron Gordon. No one really knew. The casual sports fan who just watches sports does not know who Aaron Gordon is. Does not know who Will Barton is. Does not know who Zach LaVine is. Barely knows who Andre Drummond is. That's the thing. You got to get these superstars to do this. Why hasn't LeBron James done a dunk contest?
I agree.
You know, I don't understand that. Why hasn't Kevin Durant done a dunk contest? It will never be back fully until you get the superstars of the league to participate. Point blank period, dude.
I agree 100%. That's one complaint that I can't argue with. But you can also argue with the talent and the skill required for those dunks last night. We're talking about an alley-oop from the free throw line. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it was nice.
An under-the-legs dunk from the free throw line.
And not really from the free throw line. It was like he had
one foot in.
Yeah,
okay.
It was a foot in.
You
so
give
like,
the guy his credit. You give him his props. You give him the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. But then Aaron Gordon, he had some of the most incredible dunks I've ever seen. The use of the mascot. Because here's the main problem that I had with the dunk contest in recent years. It's so gimmicky. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Jumping over a 3-foot-high hood of a car? That's nothing impressive whatsoever. We see Blake Griffin do that while sleeping in a game. That was boring. Dwight Howard with a Superman cape on? That doesn't make the dunk any better. He couldn't even finish that dunk. They were saying, oh, he got so high he had to throw it in. No,
he
threw it in because he couldn't reach the rim.
He couldn't reach the rim. And he's naturally just a tall guy. And Andre Drummond did the same thing almost.
Exactly.
Like on his first dunk, I think, he like did like a little reverse where he just kind of threw it in. And Kevin Hart was like,
Kevin Hart pointed it out. That's not really a dunk.
You know, it's not.
And he was right.
So, but yeah, man, I
don't
know.
This changed it up because the use of the mascot by Aaron Gordon was creative, innovative, and it was not gimmicky. It was necessary. That twirling dunk that
When he was on the hoverboard and he timed it well. Yeah, and the thing, you know, and that dunk where he just basically sit in the air was just – I've watched it about 20 times now, and it gets better and better every time I watch it. But to duplicate that year after year after year, it's so tough. It's so tough, man.
Well, I think these
two
might be able to, though, because the thing
is, tough.
If they duel next year,
you've
got to remember those last two dunks were unplanned from both of them because
they
exceeded the maximum allotted rounds.
Exactly.
Were
they were just making
them.
Up stuff. They were asking their teammates, how in the world, you know, what should I do next? What should I do next? You know, asking his teammates and asking guys who were around watching, fellow NBA players who were watching it, like, what should I do next? I have no idea. I didn't plan for this. So it was very entertaining. I wouldn't put my money on it being that entertaining next year, though. I don't know. But also, some more All-Star takeaways before we wrap this convo up. Klay Thompson beating Steph Curry in the three-point contest. That was very, very impressive. Klay Thompson was lights out. And I watched the Celebrity All-Star game on Friday night, and Klay Thompson had an interesting quote that I was thinking about as Klay Thompson beat Steph Curry on Saturday. And he said, I really hope that Steph stays out really late tonight partying because I'm going to bed early. I'm getting some rest. I will be ready for that competition. So Klay Thompson was. He was lights out on Saturday night, wasn't he? Karl Anthony Towns winning the skills competition. A big man putting on for the big guys. He beat Isaiah Thomas. I also think he eliminated Draymond Green during that outing as well. And Draymond Green.
Anthony Davis, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Draymond Green versus Kevin Hart in the shooting contest. I had a current sports throwback because Michael Buffer, who was on our show, what was that, like 2 months ago, I think?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, Buffer
Here,
came out.
I got a bite, actually.
Oh, do you?
Let's get ready for Sparty.
Gotta love Michael Buffer, right? Buffer, when he was on our show, I had a flashback moment watching him come out and introduce Draymond Green and Kevin Hart. That was very, very cool as well.
Yeah, all of that was amazing. My number one takeaway was actually, believe it or not, first off, you can't take away anything from the All-Star game. All you can realize is these guys are good. They hit shots and dunk impressively when they're open. That's all you can take away. But from the skills challenge, oh my Lord, Karl Anthony Towns is going to be a force to reckon with down the years. I mean, you see it in his game regularly, but the guard skills that man possesses.
He's great, isn't he?
It's incredible. Yeah, and he's got a lot of bulk to him, too. The problem with Anthony Davis when he came in is he was skinny. He had to put on a lot of muscle. That muscle's already there for Karl Anthony Towns, and he's still fleet of foot. He can still dribble very much like a guard, and he's very accurate passing. He's a fantastic player, and I think he'll be a great, great player for the T-Wolves down the years.
He definitely will, yeah. KAT, he's a freak of nature, without a doubt. Listen to our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's show by bringing you our weekend winners. Don't touch that dial. Don't you do it. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I see, Isaac, you're throwing us back to some Michael Jackson today, right?
Martis Monday. You got to throw in them artists, and Michael's the greatest.
He is the greatest, man. You know, if you have not seen Spike Lee's latest documentary detailing Michael Jackson's transcendence from being with the Jacksons to his first album, Off the Wall, dude, it gave me goosebumps. I watched it yesterday. Not yesterday, after work, because I didn't work yesterday. Last week, excuse me. And I was like on a Wednesday. Got home, and I popped it in. It was unbelievable, dude. I mean, Spike Lee did a really remarkable job. Just kind of detailing the greatness that's behind Michael and the way he used to write songs. I mean, it's unlike anything I've ever heard of in my life, dude. So check it out if you have not seen
it. I'll have to look that up.
Yes, it's on Showtime. It's called Michael Jackson's Off the Wall something. So definitely check that out. It was fantastic. All right, folks. Well, about 5 minutes left in the show. We love to end each and every Current Sports Monday with a segment entitled Weekend Winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and beyond and bring you our weekend winners and losers. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, time for weekend winners. I'll start with my winners here. I want to give a shout out to Vaughn Taylor. How good was that man yesterday, right? At the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, he was 6 shots behind to begin the day. Phil Mickelson led entering Sunday. Really had the opportunity to force a playoff on the 18th green, unable to convert a 5-foot birdie, and Vaughn Taylor gets the dub. His third career victory on the PGA Tour. His first since August of 2005, a long time coming for Mr. Taylor. And speaking of long time coming, Mickelson remains winless on tour in 3 years. That's weird to say. July of 2013, Vaughn Taylor absolutely fantastic. Also, Ronda Rousey, she will grace the latest edition of the SI, Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Series. You know, it was really good just to see Ronda back. I know after taking that loss to Holly Holm, everyone bashing her. You know, I detailed an article in which she lost to Holly Holm, and it talked about how Ronda didn't want to come out of her cabin. She was just really down and out and depressed, her first time losing in her career like that. And now she's everywhere. She hosted SNL not too long ago, now on the cover of Sports Illustrated. She seemed to be getting back in the swing of things and really a pioneer for female sports in general, not just the world of UFC. Great to see her back in the spotlight. Also, Colby Bean Bryant, of course, his last All-Star appearance. It was a great tribute before the game done by, of course, Michigan State's own Irvin Magic Johnson. They played two video tributes to Kobe, then Kobe came out and said a few words. He finished with, I think, 10 points on the night. Great to see Kobe go out in such high fashion. I even saw Steph Curry get his Kobe Bryant's autograph on his jersey for that All-Star year, just to show you how big of an impact Kobe had on the league and the countless superstars that we now have today. And also Denzel Valentine, need I say more? Denzel Valentine, absolutely spectacular. One weekend loser. Peyton Manning, we are going to dive into this story tomorrow, without a doubt. Peyton Manning, among the athletes cited in a lawsuit filed by a group of women alleging that the University of Tennessee has violated Title IX regulations and created a hostile sexual environment. The Tennessee lawsuit alleges that in 1996, when Manning was the Volunteers quarterback, he placed his genitals on the face of a female athletic trainer while she was examining him for an injury, allegedly now. Manning has denied that he assaulted the trainer, saying instead that he was mooning a teammate. Wow. How does that go uncovered over the years?
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Not a great story whatsoever. And, yeah, I mean, you would never have expected Peyton Manning as the thing. He should have kept that one.
Again, I want to say that.
Mooning a teammate, that's not even a good look necessarily. Should have kept that one covered. But, anyway, it's my weekend winners. Probably Duke basketball, big win over Virginia. That was huge for them. They're getting on a roll right in the important stretch of a season. They're playing UNC on the 17th. Also, Drake winning his coaching debut and throwing some shade at Meek Mill. Darn it, he rapped back-to-back live and actually went hard on it. And he said it's been a rough year for Philadelphia. Poor Meek. And then finally, I'm going to say the Kansas Jayhawks winning 2 of 2 for the season against Oklahoma. That's really impressive.
Okay. All right. And last but not least, we have our fantastic production assistant here with us on the show, Mike Masson. Mike, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How you doing, Al?
I'm doing fantastic. Who's your winners? And do you got any losers? I'm curious, too.
I just got one winner. Got to shout out Pavel Datsyuk of the Red Wings.
He was fantastic.
Becomes the sixth player in Red Wings history to record 900 points. Had 2 goals, 1 assist in yesterday's win. 902 career points now in 928 games. Efficient.
Isn't he fun to watch, too?
He's the most fun player I've seen in my lifetime.
He's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you know what? I've never seen a Red Wings game at the Joe. I know next year will be its final year. I feel bad for saying that, but I got to go to check out a few Red Wings games
next year.
Definitely, without a doubt, without a doubt. All right, well, that's it. That's a wrap on it, folks. Much thanks to all of you out there for tuning into today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.